With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome in the jar where a friendly face ain't far. Now come on, sit your ass down. We're going to have us a cigar. Tasty. All right, first deal. So I saw this a couple days ago and wanted to highlight it. NFL salary cap skyrockets to $255.4 million for 2024, up a record $30.6 million from 2023. Okay, and I got an ad pop up. But the article says that the official salary cap figure, like we said, is $255.4 million. And that's up $30.6 million. The cap number comes out just as teams begin to travel to Indy for the NFL Combine, where formal and informal meetings with agents of veteran players will take place. Knowing the cap number ahead of all those meetings will help all sides in their business dealings ahead of the start of the league year on March 13th. NFL's growing like crazy. Continues to grow. My dad and I were talking about this the other day. The emphasis on international expansion. You see, I think you saw a record number of games internationally this year. Games in Germany, UK. I think they're going to have one in Brazil next year. They're going to have even more internationally hosted games. And flag football is now an Olympic sport that a lot of NFL players are lobbying about. Tyreek Hill was a vocal supporter of that. I know there's guys like Derwin James, safety for the Chargers, that are talking about a lot about it. And so, like, seeing the growth of the NFL now and knowing that you don't really have the rest of the world on board yet is crazy to think about, right? We're seeing the salary cap go up a record amount year over year. I guarantee damn Taylor Swift's a part of that. I guarantee that with streaming platforms doing what they're doing for the sport, it's only going to become more and more accessible, and guys are getting paid crazy numbers, and we'll talk about that in a second. But they're shaping up to be worth it, and so I thought that was a cool little deal to open up the show. It says the unprecedented $30 million increase per club in this year's salary cap is a result of the full repayment of all amounts advanced by clubs and deferred by the players during the COVID pandemic, as well as an extraordinary increase in media revenue for the 2024 season. Taylor Swift. So that was pretty cool. Saw a report recently that the Dolphins are going to release Xavien Howard, cornerback, who has played some really good ball the last couple of seasons. He got in some disputes. I think there was a domestic violence deal in there. And so, people were speculating as to why it happened. They let him know that he's going to be cut, I think by the end of the league year. And so I looked at his contract. I think he has like $75 million over 5 years. Like I said, these guys are earning their money. This guy is a dog. And the most interesting part about it was, is that the way I saw this report was that I saw Cincinnati Bengals trending on Twitter, X, if you will. I'd be fired the fuck up if Xavien Howard brought his talents to Southern Ohio. I'll just say that. As a fan, I'll say that. But, you know, they're talking about T. Higgins a lot, possibly about giving him an extension. And so, you know, with this extended salary cap, I guess they're, you know, allocating it per club. I guess each club, as this article states from CBS Sports, is going to get $30 million extra in cap space, I think. I might have read that wrong, but that's what it said. So, yeah, anyways, we'll see who's willing to pay him, and I think probably how much the Bengals pay T. Higgins is going to be a factor in, you know, being able to get a guy like this. So we've been talking about the Chiefs secondary a good bit on this show, and I got to give the boy Legarius Sneed his flowers, dude. Targeted 90 times over the course of the season, gave up zero touchdowns. It seems like the guy is a complete emphasizer of the technical side of the game and honing his skill, because he's not a huge, daunting guy. Like, you know, he's kind of skinny, he's real long, and that's a huge characteristic in NFL cornerbacks. Most successful ones, they're long as shit, right? Their hands are down to their knees. And I, just from seeing Sneed, I think he's that type of guy. But like, his coverage is just so tactical. It's like every move has a purpose. You always hear coaches saying, coming up, you know, playing football, whether it's in, you know, high school or college, or definitely, you know, at the pro level still, I'm sure some guys do this, but wasting steps, right? Don't take false steps, right? If you're a linebacker, you should be thinking run first. So that first step is always forward. It's always forward. It doesn't matter what's happening. So, like, if a linebacker at the snap of the ball steps his foot back. I used to do this all the time in high school. The ball would get snapped, and I'd see my back leg go back. And it's like, you know, you're wasting energy, you're wasting movement. And I remember it costed me a lot not getting to the ball quick enough. So, point being, this guy's a damn tactician in coverage. We've shown videos of him. I think we showed McDuffie last week, Trent McDuffie. That kid's playing good too. We've shown some clips of him in coverage, and it's just insane to watch what this guy's doing. He's in his third year in the league, fourth round pick out of Louisiana Tech. And it's like, dude, you're tripping if you tell me all of the pro talent, people know this, if all of the pro talent coming into the league is coming from the Power Five, a lot of guys just develop different. And it's just like, you know, a guy might not be highly recruited out of high school, comes into college and develops like crazy and becomes a huge pro prospect. The same thing's true for guys developing in college, too. I saw a post today on Instagram talking about all the walk-ons, the college walk-ons that have made it to the pros, guys like Hunter Renfrow, receiver. Antonio Brown was a walk-on, you know. So I guess my point is, like, guys just develop at different paces. It's like, you know, if Power Five schools knew what kind of player this guy was going to be when he was coming out of high school, he would have been with one of those teams, right? So I just thought that was interesting. In other football news, Matthew Slater, arguably one of the most elite, if not the most elite, special teams player in the history of the game, announced he's retiring. 3 Super Bowls, 10 Pro Bowls. Let's see what else. This is just the company he's got. Just playing special teams. Players with 3 or more Super Bowl wins and 10 or more Pro Bowls in NFL history. Tom Brady, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Mean Joe Green, and Matthew Slater. So this guy, I had some film. It was a bit long. But, like, you know, he's slashing through the protection team on when he's playing punt return. You know, he's playing that gunner spot where you just pick a gap that's open and you rush the punt. This guy picked up, you know, what was going to open up before the ball's even snapped. He gets back there. He's blocking punts. I mean, the guy, here's the thing about football, right? Like, a lot of guys that aren't bona fide in terms of the position they play, or maybe they're far down the depth chart, they have to play special teams to earn their keep, especially in the NFL where there's 53 guys on a roster. You know, every single one of those guys has got to be pulling their in a practice squad, you know, 10, 11 man practice squad. Every single guy, if you're getting a check from the organization, you got to be adding value of some type. And so from what I understand with this guy's story, like, he was a bubble player coming into the league, like, and just made his name on special teams. And how do you make your name on special teams? You fucking hustle and you grind and you do the shit that no one wants to do. You know, you're going out there on punt team and punching the guy in his chest, and then you got to get off and get down there and make a tackle. So it's just a really cool story because of the mentality that comes from having to play special teams, especially year in and year out. I think this guy's career was, I don't know if it says how long his career was, but I think it was upwards of I think it was from 15 to 20 years. This guy was in the National Football League. Average lifespan of a professional football player in the NFL, Colt, is 3 years, to put that in perspective. That's the average amount of time a guy spends in the NFL before he's out of a job. So, you know, it's cool. I resonate with this because, you know, a lot of my boys, myself, you know, we had to earn our keep on special teams. Whether that's in practice, scout team, special teams, all the way up to, you know, the damn quarterback. Everybody on a football team's got a role. It's one unit. So it's pretty damn cool to, you know, see a guy like that, you know, cap off his career on his terms, you know. So I think we got the first clip of the day right here.
You're a Bentley right now. I'm just going to put spinners on that thing. I need you lower! Bam! Hit it! Oh, straight yard. Oh, that's mine. Yeah!
It's psycho.
I mean, come on, you already know. So get your mind right. Hey, pull your pants up. Damn. Ready? Bring down. Set. Give it to me. Bam. Bam. Go set. Ready. Stop, drop. Get up. Yeah. Go set. I got a bus in the back, too. Let's roll, man. Let's roll. Hustle, man. Hustle. Oh, yeah. Got the dancing bag. Get you some. Did you have cereal this morning? Let it out. Live for the pay.
Huh? This is Bama. This is Alabama's old strength coach.
Get the ball back. Are we still warming up? Up. Down. Up. Push him back. Way back. Jump down. Both that on that foot. If you want me, you can find me in the... Ready, stretch. Locked in, 100%. Got that fire. God gives it to me. And if I mess it up, he's going to take it away.
Dude, crazy answer. I love it.
Hey, Bama hit. Let's go. Little snap, crack and pop in that bat. Bow.
Even giving himself a dose.
You gotta get down. Do the little things. Boom. Boom.
So that was Bama's old strength coach, Scott Cochran. He ended up at UGA. And actually, my good buddy Lewis worked under him for a long time. But this took me way back, dude, because this guy, I think Scott Cochran started going viral before we got to, you know, I think I went to college in 2015. So I think he was going viral before that. And we get to Samford down in Birmingham for the first, you know, summer workouts when we were freshmen. And end up learning that our strength coach worked under this guy at Bama. And it was his first year with the program. Same style, dude. Same style. And the strength coach, man, the strength coach is, I feel like people overestimate the amount of time like the head coach spends with a football program. You know, the strength coach, I think, you know, it's like Herm Edwards said this. It's like 6 months head coach, 6 months with the strength coach. That's who the players are spending time with. That is the foundation for your college football program's culture right there as a damn strength coach. Yeah, I love that juice. I love that juice, boy. Dude, these types of guys were the types of guys that introduced me to smelling salts. I'm dead. Dude, like, shit, there might have been a clip of it in that video. Like, literally, you know, our strength coach, we called him B.A. He was just jacked. Perfect beard, alpha human being, you know. And he'd come up before a game and be like, "Gonna get you some of that Dupree. Gonna get it. Yeah, baby." And he's like, as you hit it, he'd be like, hit it harder. You finally take a big one. And he'd be like, "Yeah." Dude, being around guys like that, it's fun, but they're scary as shit if you piss them off. And they're sadistic too. They're strength coaches, so they studied this damn thing. Right? They've studied it for a long time. They've spent a lot of time around, and you got to work your way up in that field too. So they've seen everything, and they probably spent 10, 15, 20 years. So it's like they can get sadistic as hell with it too, psychologically. I remember one time in college, there was this kid that came in and, you know, not the highest level guy in the building, we'll just say that. And he lied all the time. He lied a lot. And I remember our strength coach, B.A., this kid was hurt. He had, like, torn his labrum. And the thing about a labrum tear is when you tear your labrum during a football season and, like, you know, you're trying to earn your keep. You're trying to earn a spot. Like, you need to be taking reps. You can play on a torn labrum. When you get surgery on your labrum, that's when you cannot participate anymore. So a lot of times, you know, at least in our program, guys would tear their labrum. They'd play through the season, and then they would get it operated on in the offseason. Well, this kid, for whatever reason, you know, wasn't high up on you know, many depth charts, and he decided, you know, to get his labrum operated on in the middle of the season. And so, you know, I guess BA thought that he was kind of taking the easy way out, like, you know, getting the surgery and being out and being able to just kind of watch workouts. So one day we were working out, And this kid, he couldn't because he just gotten the surgery, chose to do it. And B.A. puts him in his office, empty jar, and says it was full of AstroTurf, like little rubber pellets. And he was like, "Yo, like, this is your workout today. Like, count these pellets." It was tough, dude. But anyways, what's the next thing we got? More Bama craziness.
LSU fan came and stuck his spike in my booty. Bitch, I don't play that shit. I will kill out here. Anybody play with me, I will kill you out here.
Dude, Bama and LSU fans have so much beef. It's crazy, bro. Like, I've never been to a Bama-LSU game. It's a bucket list thing. But I've heard stories, man, and it's like, if that game's going on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in Death Valley, and you're wearing a damn Bama jersey, you better not roll through the tailgating area at night. You know what I'm saying? They will fight LSU fans. And this guy, honestly, I can't believe. He sounds like he's from Louisiana. Stuck a finger in my, you know what I mean? That's Louisiana, dude. That guy's a double agent, man. Something. I mean, and the way he's dressed, he looks like Scrim from Suicide Boys, dude. Bro. Dude, Scrim from Suicide Boys, I guess he just dropped a new album. It's fire, dude. The only reason I found out was he went on Instagram Live and played some of the songs that were cut. And they were fire, bro. They were straight heat. So, yeah, I don't know why I went on that little tyrant there, but guy looks like Scrim from Suicide Boys, for sure. Next clip.
The rules that I'm calling out from now on, as long as I'm here, and the Patrick Mahomes rules. So you remember when Jordan was going through it with the Pistons, all those guys in the 80s before he came, Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, the Pistons used to whoop his. Anytime he came to the hole, elbows, feeling them, love taps, we touched them, we in the head, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'm touching you. So I show those guys, Jordan getting his whooped.
Dude, so that is, I guess it's a clip from NFL Live, and it's kind of summing up like everything we've been saying about Antonio Pierce on the podcast, Raiders head coach, about kind of the standard he's trying to set. You know, basically what he's saying is, like, you can mitigate a great player and their ability if you get in their head, and if you're doing, and I knew tons of guys like this, you know, during my days where, like, if they tackle you, they give you a little extra shove or a little extra push on the ground. My buddy Dan, man, he used to literally punch guys in the gut at the bottom of a pile, dude. Like, just so the ref couldn't see. And then you get up, and the guy's pissed, and let's say he shoves you back. The ref saw that. That's a flag. You just got 15 yards for the squad. So I guess he's calling that the Jordan rule because I remember the 1980s Detroit Pistons. We were talking about basketball before this. The 1980 Detroit Pistons were notorious for just lamb blasting whoever they played. They foul them hard as shit. They'd shove them when they were midair going up for a layup. And everybody in the NBA in the 70s and 80s was scared of these guys. Not because they were the best basketball players necessarily, but they would fuck with you mentally, right? And so Antonio Pierce's inspiration, the Raiders head coach, talking in this video, is talking about how Michael Jordan would go in against the Pistons and just kind of get in their ear, do little stuff to bother them, whatever he can do to get them off their game, you know, whisper in their ear when shooting free throws, standing beside them. A lot of shit in basketball is talked when free throws are being shot. Let me tell you what, dude. But you hear a lot about Max Crosby, the defensive end that was sitting there in the video with him, next to him. The guy does, like, little shoves on the quarterback, and you've seen these videos go viral of him and Mahomes yapping each other, you know, after the play. So, you know, I think the Raiders got a lot ahead for him. You know, Antonio Pierce was that type of player, and it shows why his guys fuck with him so much. And as a coach, when your guys mess with you as a human being, that's when it goes to a different level. Next clip. I thought this was cool. I'm a big Reds fan, arguably even more of a Reds fan than I am, you know, a Bengals fan or any other Cincinnati organization for that reason. But we got some youngsters, you know, we got some young guys on the squad. Hunter Green, Ellie De La Cruz. I don't even think Ellie speaks damn English. That's how good he is at baseball. And this man, they were taking BP, and this man hits a ball out. And the guy that pitched it to him, Mr. Hunter Green, his car was hit by the baseball. So, little bit of Cincinnati Reds coolness for your damn Sunday here. Next clip.
Know what you're working with. Oh, no.
I think the commentary on this video.
Somebody help him back. Hey, dude, boy, get over here. Hold the point down. Don't let it go. Oh, no.
Hold on.
Hey, somebody help him out. Oh, Lord, you about to flip this damn
that boy.
Hey, somebody help him get that out of there. Hold his butt out.
He just sitting
right
back.
There. We're going to get you out of there. They going to get you out. I ain't doing that shit. That's the damn back there. Hey, somebody. Oh, Lord.
Hey.
God damn, butt out. I thought you was out of here, player.
You heard
that butt out, though, like
last year. That boy, butt out.
Hey, he mad at the player.
I can't wait to see this video, dude. Hey, boy, pork chop. This guy's literally leaned back on a damn four-wheeler. He's got to be 400 pounds, and it's in a damn pool of mud, and he's just sitting back on it. His boys are trying to damn flip the four-wheeler, damn. So, did I just say four-wheeler down or damn? Y'all probably never know, and I don't either. Next clip. This guy's driving a damn Lambo, and he's videoing while he's driving probably 160, 170, weaving through traffic trying to get this guy because he hit the side of his damn car. That sounds like some Arizona-ass shit right there, dude. That's Arizona core is what that should be. It don't look like the desert, but it's like, number one, dude, if I had a Lambo, I'd be cautious to even take that hoe out. You know what I'm saying? Like, those cars go for what, 250 on the low end? 250 grand? You trick it out, you probably spend upwards of $500,000 on one of them damn rigs. And so I'm cautious. I'd be cautious to drive it. Obviously, you buy a car, you drive it. You buy shoes, you wear them. Like, I'm in that camp, right? I'm not just for buying shit just to let it sit and have the ego trip saying I have it, right? I'm about using it, but God, dude, if I'm whipping that Lamborghini, I'm going the speed limit. I'm keeping at least a car's length, two cars' length behind somebody. And this dude, the first shot in this clip, this guy's Lamborghini steering wheel is what shows. And then you just see him weaving through traffic. And you insult to injury, he's damn videoing it. He's videoing it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I hope the guy's okay. I hope he didn't wreck his Lamborghini. I hope he got the guy that swiped his damn car. But I mean, shit, dude. I watched that video. My damn heart rate went up 20, 30 beats per minute. So, next clip. This one, dude. This one's an oldie. I used to get these clips a lot, and my buddy sent it to me, my pledge brother, Panda. Mr. Matthew Holland sent it to me. And it's just a guy roasting.
Brother, 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 how you doing?
With a tune.
Hold on, man, hold on.
He's not fucking getting rode.
Oh, man, no, man.
Hell good no, dude. Bro.
That's
so much.
My God, no way, yeah,
yeah. That's on mine.
Talking by. Ah! No, man, hold on, brother. Let me see the tongue. Oh, my God. Who is that coming
Is that the Shaq brand, dude? Oh, I think it's knocked off Shaq.
Oh, man, hold on. Can we get a moment of silence for R.I.P. Kobe?
It's on bond.
That ain't him on the logo, man. Oh, man. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Pardon me. Hold on. Can you lift your shoe up? I got a tip for you.
I mean, he's right.
Don't you? Right. None of these damn things no more. Hold on. I got three things, man. Hold on. Let me roll. Let me poop.
Bro, the man standing there wearing his shoes, bro.
Tangle mark, oh.
I would have walked away at that point, bro.
I'll never see you next time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Brother got a good voice. Brother got a good voice, dude. I love watching clips of people getting road like that. Because I feel like, dude, I feel like there's, as sensitive as people are today, there's not a ton of things that you can, like, really get on someone's case for on a consistent basis. But if your shoes are fucked up, or if your piece is fucked up, that's what I call a damn hairdo, is your piece, right? If your piece is bit, you're getting rode. You're getting rode. And I love seeing a beat piece. I love seeing it. And I love seeing someone get rode. This guy's kicks were bootleg. They literally had the damn fucking sole detached from the damn shoe, dude. Put a dollar bill in there for your trouble. All right, next clip.
You know what I'm saying? Mama Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
You boys over here shadow boxing at a damn funeral, dude. Old cat too. See what I got? Yeah, fuck Kenny, Uncle Kenny. What else? Feel like I left that on a bad note. That uppercut was, you know. Yeah, yeah. Strong jab, establish it. Yeah, and then he said, dude, that's kind of, I honestly, bro, like, that's kind of a fire little feint where you fucking show the two, come underneath. He kind of reached out a bit, though. Maybe could have stepped back, clap him with a cross, too. But, you know. When I'm old like that, I'll probably have that same energy. My damn girl gets embarrassed in public because I get bored. I'm standing there. I start shadow boxing. I start head movement. You know, it's fun. And, dude, even before I knew anything about scrapping, dude, like, you know, down at Samford in the locker room, sometimes guys would, like, just shadow box, dude. And that was like ghetto, dude. I love that because it just feel like, you know, you have everybody circle around and fucking, you know, you're not hitting hard or nothing. You're trying to touch the guy on the face. Oh, I got you. Bang. So, I don't know. I love a lot of these clips are striking a chord, you know. I guess that's the point of this damn podcast, is to show the clips that get you in the jar or out of it. Next clip.
Stacking psilocybin mushrooms with niacin, nicotinic acid, the flushing form, and lion's mane.
I don't know anything about
and
niacin.
And I propose this stack because psilocybin is a vasoconstrictor, niacin is a vasodilator. Also, when you take the flushing form of niacin, your nerve endings get excited. So I thought with neuropathies, oftentimes present themselves as deadening of the extremities, the fingertips and the toes. And so when you have neurodegeneration and neuropathies, you have vasoconstriction, blood vessels, you know, choke off, nerves die. So I thought with vasodilation, with niacin, it could deliver the benefits of psilocybin to the endpoints of the peripheral nervous system. Then lion's mane, it's been well studied that lion's mane regenerates myelin on the axons of nerves. These are the conductive sheath. I bundled these together for the hypothesis that these would have an entourage effect of stimulation for helping people with neurodegenerative diseases.
Huh.
I can't remember this guy's name, but he's definitely been, I've definitely listened to him on Joe Rogan. I'll add a note to make sure that that this guy's name pops up. He gets, you know, credit for this. But Lion's Mane is a supplement I've been taking for a couple of years now, and I didn't understand 80% of the damn words that guy was using in that video, but the point that I got from it that reaffirms kind of how I already felt about this is like, fungi are very good for the nervous system in human beings. And me personally, a lot of my, you know, habits, my nutrition habits, routines, a lot of it centers around having a resilient nervous system. Because it's like, shit, man, you know, life can start moving fast. Life can get stressful. And it's like, how well do you respond when bullets are flying? You know, most of the time when bullets are flying, that's the best opportunity to, you know, really make an impactful solution to solve, you know, whatever problems at hand. It's just, it's, I think the most successful people are able to operate at a high, at the, their highest capacity under the most stress. So I feel like, you know, taking Lion's Mane, you know, cordyceps is great for athletic performance. Reishi's great before bed. You know, chaga is great for mental performance, mood enhancing. And then a little bit of that psilocybin, a little microdose, is not bad for you. I'm speaking from experience, obviously. It's good for me. Obviously, what everyone needs is different. But, you know, I feel like there's something with the human hardwiring down to a DNA level that the fungi of our planet, some fungi, let's just say, of our planet, really cooperate and synergize with. So I just thought that was a cool little clip. Very Joe Rogan of me to get into this stuff. The guy's name is Paul Stamets, by the way. We're talking about it off camera. I wonder if those supplements that he makes are any cleaner or better than, like, the supplements that, like, you know, Doublewood or someone like that. I think that's a company name that sells Amazon ones, but anyway. It's pretty cool. All right. Next we got...
Nicole, and these rocks hit my photographer right in the ribs. This was serious. You know, it is very usual in our profession to interview people coming out of jail, especially noteworthy people.
They were
mad. What is unusual is what happened today. Rocks being thrown and threats being hurled.
Don't throw anything at our camera.
Kodak Black.
Don't throw anything at our camera.
Yeah. Rush, call the cops, call the
just
cops.
Out of jail.
That's when you wake the Kodak bell up. I've been hibernating, chilling, bro.
Dude, he got that 3-year-old energy, since December, dude.
But he accepted a plea deal, pleading guilty to a technical violation of his probation. The judge sentenced him to time served. The Kodak's been in custody since Plantation police reportedly found him passed out in a Bentley with drugs on him.
You want to punch me?
What, weed?
Okay, I'm not gonna back down from you, Kodak. I'm not gonna back down from you.
My son about to be born in less than 48 hours. I ain't worried about y'all.
After throwing rocks at our photographer, look at that again.
I wanted to get your shot and say hello to you, and you threatened to punch me.
I did.
Threatening to punch me.
Don't threaten to punch me again. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, please.
Get out of here.
You understand what I'm saying? You want me to call the cops on you right now?
I don't know how he wouldn't be sober.
You want to threaten to punch me?
If he's sober right during this.
How I'm living. It ain't nothing like you seen on BET.
Kodak sings his way out of jail.
I'm out.
Just like that, he's gone. But the damage, done.
Oh, please.
As you saw there, a truly bizarre situation. Once again, my photographer being hit in the ribs by those rocks, and he's simply doing his job to bring all of you at home these images, trying to get Kodak Black to explain. He's a public figure. What it was like being in jail the last couple of months. One final note tonight, if you are curious, you heard my photographer Brian Murphy say, call the police, call the cops. Fort Lauderdale police were called. A police report was filed.
Dude, so first of all, dude, I feel like Kodak Black just like walks around and just like freestyles. Like he's just like singing, constantly rapping. Like he fucking threw out a little hook right there, dude, like coming down the steps. Second of all, okay, I feel like this is either one of two things, right? He's fresh out the joint and he's sober and he's just a gremlin in real life, you know. Or he got out the joint and immediately like got stupid on whatever. And cuz the way he was walking, like, I don't know, dude. But what I like about Kodak is that he's literally just like a kid. like he's just like his mannerisms, like what comes to mind. And I feel like there's benefits to that because of how creative you're able to be, and like there's no like constraint on anything you're saying. There's no filter. Like you're just spitting out hooks, like I'm an OBET or whatever the hell. Like you just, I feel like he literally just spat that out. And I, dude, if I could be that way, I would fucking be that way for sure. And obviously he's rich, he's clouded, so you know, he probably knows he can act out a little bit and be cool. And I mean, what a total hit piece. Like I don't know, man. Like it was clear they were all very mad about that, and I bet the rocks were like pebbles. I bet they like if I saw the rock in the video of him throwing it coming at the reporter's camera, that's one story. I didn't see the rock, you know. He's probably just acting a fool, acting like a gremlin, which is exactly one of the reasons why we love Kodak, is that he's a super gremlin. And it's like, you know, these damn reporters. I'm sorry to the reporters if it was a big rock, but it's like, you know, you can kind of get mad and blow shit like that out of proportion. That's all I'm saying. Next clip. These fucking... Dude, these fucking outdoor fights, man. These backyard fights. They used to do this in Miami. It's a nice knockout. And you heard him say down the pipe, and that's right where it came through with that too, right there. I remember some of the boys used to do like some of these like backyard fights, and like, you know, like Tim would get the boys together, and there was one fight in particular that I remember a lot of my buddies on the MMA team participated in, where it was just like sand. It's just like almost like a beach volleyball site, but it was like closed off for fighting. And I remember my boy Joe, he got a sick fucking knockout, just leg kicked this guy's head and he went fucking lights out to sleep, like limp on the ground, dude. And those things are gnarly, bro. Those backyard fights, like when I think backyard fights like that, I think about like Kimbo Slice and like Jorge Masvidal in Miami, just like, you know, like literally bare knuckling out back. And it's just like, ah, call me a pussy, I would never do something like that. I already got enough CTE. Next clip. Oh, speaking of CTE. Damn, boy!
Dude, I think he knocked me out.
Look at him! No, he's not fucking with it. Dude. Get up, walk over that boy. He's like, hell no. Dude, so it's these two Rams, and they just, one of them just clapped the other, bro. clapped him. And you can see, I don't know if it's the same for animals or not. You know, animal consciousness might be different. But, like, when you see a guy get knocked out real bad, like, whether it's a football game or a fight, and he starts going like this, like, his shit is limp like that. Or not limp, limp, stiff. He's knocked out. That damn ram is in there. Anyway, bro, that shit was a nice hit. But those Rams, dude. CTE City, baby. Next clip. Dude, me and my brother, we were growing up going to the Episcopal Church, and they used to call us the Bruce Brothers because we would fight in church all the time. And I kind of always got a sick rise out of doing something like that to get reactions out of people during a damn church service because they just take it so serious. Like I get it. Like, that's your time. But, you know, have some fun. Make it fun. You know, let grandma fucking rip it once in a while in the middle of the service. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is at the end of the day. It's just, you know, don't be a tight ass. You know, grandma's got to rip ass. Let grandma bust ass. That's all I'm saying about it, man. Next clip. Oh, shit. Cole, you put me on.
I'm going to tell you this, my entire company, my entire team, if you don't have a six-pack, you don't work for us.
Speaking of tight ass.
No, I know. I know.
No.
It's on. Called, everybody say standard. How about we raise them? How about we raise them? How about we raise them?
That damn instrumental,
how about you guys quit
getting
civilized and you guys quit settling? You know, there's some people in this room that said, I would sue my company if they told me I had to have a six-pack. We know you would. That conversation was for the 1%ers. That wasn't for you.
That guy sucks, dude. That guy, oh, man. I like the message at its core, but the delivery sucks. It's horrible. It's horrible. And it's just like, me and Colt were talking about it before the show, like, these guys, they have a silver tongue, right? This guy, his name's Andy Elliott. I'm giving him a little airtime here. You know, he's built up a following, and the guy obviously is generating attention. But let's not get it twisted here. This is marketing that this guy is doing. He's not sales training. He's not a, if he was a sales guy, he would be selling. And I don't know his track record. I don't know his background. But the guy that's out of the game trying to train other people how to be in the game, I struggle to listen to, because it's like, if you were so good at sales, what, like, you obviously didn't have it. I don't know the guy's story. I'm not going to act like I know his story, but it's like, the way I see it is, sales influencers like this, there are tons and tons of financial, you know, type people on YouTube that don't have any licenses, they've never seen a client, none of this. And it's like, I just struggle to take advice from someone like that. And it's like, you know, you can say words in a way that get people's attention, and don't get it twisted. This guy sold himself, obviously, to a point where he's able to make money off of consulting and social media and all that stuff. But it's like, come on, dude. whenever I hear that damn beat, that dun 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 dun, 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 I swipe. I'm like, I'm not, whatever hustle culture bullshit you're trying to peddle to me, bro. I'm gonna do me, and I'm gonna still outlast you. You know, no, it's I shouldn't talk shit. I shouldn't talk shit. My animal brain like wants to like talk shit. So, you know, I don't want no beef. It's just funny to me, you know, because people believe that shit. Anyway, next clip.
Well, things get interesting.
Do you see that wide receiver? Do you see the wide out over there?
I'm going to try to fight
in. God almighty, it's the wide out over there. God almighty.
Ford up with a great move, and he stretches it over the goal. Touchdown.
Damn.
This is a Hoover in Birmingham.
Don't act like I'm my 12-year-old or 11-year-old, like you're damn excited about staying in a damn hotel. Get your ass in the bed, go to sleep, get up in the morning, let's go play football. I'm going to tell you as a mother,
play football.
Even if you bring in a doctor's excuse, our kids know not to miss practice. Just for being sick one day because they had a virus or something like that, our kids come. They're here. I've had a ton of them throw up right up here in that dang thing, up in that deal up there.
Up in that deal up there.
All that ridicule you took. Ridicule you took after getting your butt beat, when you pound on their butt tonight, you think about that. You take every bit of your energy, every fiber in your bone, and you take it and you beat the piss
that
out of them.
Such Bama bang,
I'm talking
dude.
About beat the piss out of them. Let's go whip their ass.
The piss out of them. Dude, that guy, that clip popped up on my TikTok. And this guy was a coach at Hoover in Birmingham, Hoover High, which you know they have a pretty damn good program, and just the way this guy talked, man, I mean, you know, you play for a good old boy like that, boy, down there. Hey, this is football, man. Our kids don't have any excuse to miss practice. I don't care if they got cancer. You know what I'm saying? They don't miss damn practice. That's not the way it goes. So I think that guy's a coach at Pell City. Pell City, that's a little east of Birmingham down there in Alabama. That is redneck. Pell City's damn redneck. So he probably fits in real well. Legendary coach. When I Googled him, he had a whole Wikipedia, and it looks like he's still coaching. So pretty fire. Next clip.
Bitch, yeah.
I'm excited for NCAA 25, dude. The new, it's not new. It's an old idea, but to the market, it's new again. NCAA football video games will be back next year, dude. So you'll be able to play with, you know, your favorite football players. And I wonder if they're actually going to have the names of the guys in the game. Now, because they're being compensated for it. You know, back in the days, NCAA football, you know, video game, it's like, you know, you're playing with Reggie Bush. No, that's HB number 5, right? You're playing with damn Johnny Manziel at quarterback for Texas A&M. That's QB number 2. And I remember we as kids, dude, we always used to damn, like, go in, edit the roster, and, like, manually put every guy's name in there. Like, you go into the roster, you edit their name, and instead of QB number 2, that's now Johnny, you know, football or whatever. But I'm fired up about that shit, dude. Play NCAA football online a little bit. Hopefully EA Sports is like, man, Madden's been so frustrating to me the last couple of years because they haven't changed anything about the game. And the reason they haven't changed anything about the game is because they have the market on Madden. Nobody else is making an NFL video game. And a lot of people want 2K to get back in the mix. There were rumblings of that for some reason or whatever. That died off. I haven't heard about that. But hopefully they improve it, man. My gut says that it's probably just going to look and feel the same as Madden. But, you know, I hope not. Do we have any other clips? I think that is the last one, y'all. So appreciate you tuning in. This is In the Jar with your boy Dupe. Let me know what you think in the comments, and we'll see you next week.